Well, good morning all, and welcome to this, another beautiful Sabbath day morning. I know what you might all be thinking, especially if you're a visitor with us today. The Reverend Park's looking a wee bit younger this morning, but unfortunately he's sitting over here. But we're going to start off this worship service the way we start off any worship service, and that's with the hymn number 54. The hymn number 54. It says in the Bible to make a joyful sound unto the joyful noise unto the Lord. Sorry, and if you know me, me and the word singing don't usually go in the same sentence. So you'll have to excuse me. And I'm looking at Johnny Ray out there at the back to make sure this microphone's turned down, just in case he's all getting earful. But the hymn number 54: Great God of wonders, all thy ways. Now, obviously, this isn't any ordinary worship service. Of course, today is our Youth Sunday. So we are going to have members of our Youth Fellowship taking part. And we're going to start off by asking Isaac Atkinson if he'll come and read the psalm for today.
Psalm 69, verse 1 to 18. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying, my throat is dried, mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel, because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chasteneth my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. And hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies.
Amen, and thank you, Isaac, for reading that psalm so beautifully. We're now going to ask, well, I've said that it's a youth Sunday. Technically, it is, but the next person who's going to take part is a debatable if he's young or not. I'll let you be the judge of it. So I'm going to ask our youth leader, Samuel, to come forward to open our service in a word of prayer. Just before he comes up, I'd like to thank Samuel, Jonathan, Stephen, and Ryan for the work they do as our youth leaders. I'm sure they have a tough time. And for any of you who, again, are visitors or watching in online on YouTube, Sermon Audio, Facebook, etc., Samuel was bald before he joined the youth fellowship. That is not our doing. So, again, thank you, brother, and I'll let you open our service in a word of prayer.
Thank you, Chrissy. I don't know what to say to that. I'm going to have a wee footer at that. Is that okay, Jonathan? Hopefully that stays okay for the rest of the service. Youth Sunday's a wee bit different than we would hoped it would be this year, but at least there's a congregation here. Last year it was just two of us, I think, in the church and everyone else at home. So it's lovely to see people here today, but it's a much more scaled-down version than it normally would be. We've spent the last year on Zoom, most of it anyway, and we've been on a world tour, I think, with Zoom and the youth. We went to see Noreen in Uganda. It's nice to see Noreen with us today. We were in Spain with Alex and Vanessa. We went to Nepal. We had some videos from Joy there. We were in Liberia with Joanne Greer. And I think we even were in Darkest Bangor with our brother Moffat there as well. So we've had a good time with youth, but it's been great to get back into the hall again with them on a Friday night. Pray for the young people. They've had a tough year of it. It's perhaps COVID doesn't affect them physically, the same as someone who's more elderly, but it's been a very tough year, the impact that it's had on the youth meetings and how they can interact with each other. So pray for them. They've done exceptionally well. They've attended really well, and it's been a blessing to each of us that have been working with them. So we'll just come to the Lord in prayer and ask that the Lord will bless our service here today. Heavenly Father, we come humbly into your presence this morning. We realize that we are coming before a great God of wonders, as we've been singing about already this morning. And we realize that your word tells us that you're holy, holy, holy. And we realize that we cannot approach you of ourselves, but we can only come because of the love of God to fallen man, and how you sent your Son to die in our place for us. We thank you for the Saviour, the one who lived a spotless life, and the one who died an atoning death. And we thank you for the one who is our mediator, the only way we can approach to God. And we come today on this, the Lord's Day, this day that reminds us of our risen Saviour, the one who is no longer in the tomb, the one who is there in heaven, and the one who has commanded us to meet together. And we come together to worship you. And we pray that as we meet here, that you will be one of our number. We pray that more than the people who sit near us, that we will know the presence of God as we worship you today. We thank you for the young people of our church. We thank you for those who will be taking part today as they lead the meeting, as they read your word, as they testify and sing. We pray that each one of them will be blessed in the work that they do for you. And we pray that you will bless each one who listens and who hears the word today. We thank you especially of our brother Joshua as he brings your word later on. And we thank you for him and for his faithfulness with us here in Ballymoney whenever he was in the youth fellowship. And we pray now that as he comes back amongst us, that you will open the word that he brings to us, to our hearts. And we pray that each one of us will not just be hearers of the word, but doers as well. We remember our students. We think of those at Bible College at this time. We pray for David, for Greg, for Jonathan. We pray for our brother Simon and for Deepankar. We pray that each one of them will know the help of God at this exam time, and that they will be blessed each day as they study your word, and that you will lead them and guide them as to where you would have them to go and what you would have them to do for you. We pray for our church as a whole and for the rest of the congregation, for those who are sick at this time. We pray that you will come alongside them. We thank you for your preserving hand upon Aaron Galt this week and for protecting him and that he's out of hospital. And we pray that he will know the nearness of God at this time and that he will be raised up to full health and strength again. We thank you for bringing Sean out of hospital as well. And we pray for others who have been suffering over many months with sickness and illness. We thank you that you're the God who knows all about our troubles, and we pray that you will come near to them and encourage them in the things of God today. We even think of our missionaries today, those especially who have left this church. We thank you for having our sister Noreen with us today. We thank you for her years of faithfulness working for you, and we pray that at this time of break that she will be refreshed and that she will be encouraged. And we pray for the church out there in Uganda and the school that you will bless it at this time. We think of John and Narana in Spain, for Alex and Vanessa in Spain and for their parents. We think of Armin out there in Greenville. We pray that you will bless him. And Lord, we pray that there will be an ingathering of souls this day across the world, those for whom Christ died. So Lord, we pray you'll meet with us today. Come amongst us. Help each one who takes part. Take away all nerves that they may have, and we pray that each one of us will leave here later saying it was good to have gone there, for there we met afresh with the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Samuel, for that prayer. We're now going to ask another one of our youth fellowship, another member of our youth committee, and a very dear friend of me, Lewis McCauley, or as I call him, Big Lou, to come and give a word of testimony with a slight difference. So come on ahead, big guy.
All right, good morning. So Samuel has asked me to give my testimony this morning, but it's going to be slightly different. So as it's our 70th anniversary of the church, I've been asked to give a few short testimonies of those in my family that God's grace has reached in salvation, that together then form a chain back to the commencement of our church here in Ballymoney. So I know that many other families here are also blessed to be able to rejoice in family members saved during Cabra Days, and now children and grandchildren call this church home and trust in their grandparents' saviour. So this chain starts with my great-granddad, Sandy McCauley. Sandy was brought up in a Christian home, so I suppose we could have actually went even further back again. But we start with Sandy. And the family altar and church going was a regular part of his young life growing up. At the age of 19, he went out into the world, but the death of both his mum and dad in 1920 sobered the young man, and he tried to reform his life by himself. He joined the Presbyterian Church Committee and even became a Sunday school teacher. But of course, no contentment could be found in his heart, because as of yet, no work was done in his heart. He went to the minister under conviction of sin, but he was told to just continue with doing his two smokes a day and go on as he was doing. It was on the 27th of November 1936 at a gospel mission held by the Faith Mission that Sandy and two of his sons were gloriously saved. Sandy had listened intently to the message, but as the words of the closing hymn, "Life at best is very brief," that spoke to him. Soon he had a father's joy of seeing all of his 10 children swept into the kingdom of God. And Sandy, as an elder and Sunday school superintendent, was saddened that his church was not preaching the gospel. So he and some other men, after an all-night of prayer, took the very difficult but courageous decision to leave their church and help form the church that we all love and cherish today. One of those 10 saved in Sandy's family was my Granda Albert. Granda was saved in 1948 at the age of 17 through the mighty gospel preaching of W.P. Nicholson in a mission he held in Ballymoney. He became active as a young person growing up in this fledgling, young, and sometimes persecuted Free Presbyterian Church at Cabra. Years later, although he had many responsibilities as an elder and Sunday school superintendent, his biggest challenge was to come when God called him to door-to-door evangelism. And this happened in 1976 through the preaching of Dr. Bob Jones from the USA in a harvest meeting. Granda felt overwhelmed with this responsibility as he was a shy person, but the Lord helped and equipped him by filling him with the Holy Spirit and giving him a boldness that was not his own. He was encouraged by the words of 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, but not of us." He commenced this work in February 1977 and continued until 2006, the same year as he died, and had the joy of leading many precious souls to Christ. 1976 was a special year in this church and also in our family. Granda was called into the door-to-door work just before a mission which we fondly remember as the 76 Mission. Reverend Ken Elliott was the preacher, and many precious souls were saved. One of those saved was a wee boy of 6 years old, and that was my dad, Jonathan. He remembers this mission well, nearly every night people being saved, and one particular night he was under deep conviction of sin, and he tugged on my Granda Albert's coat and told him, "I need to be saved." In simple childlike faith, and with the help of his minister, the Reverend Alan Cairns, he sought the Lord to forgive him his sins and came to Christ that evening. He remembers two hymns sung during that mission that still hold so much meaning today. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and O happy day. He is so glad that the cross work of the Lord Jesus made that day a very happy one for him. Although he knew he was saved that evening, he remembers coming to full assurance of salvation when he witnessed to the rest of his Sunday school class under the encouragement of his cousin Anne McCauley during a testimony slot in their class. The joy of the Lord flooded his soul, and that night he knew the truth of Romans 8, verse 16. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And then, finally, there is me, Lewis. I was brought up in the church and sent faithfully to every meeting available to me from a very young age. It was then one day, at the age of 5, I questioned my mum about the words of the Sunday school chorus, "One Door and Only One," based on the verse found in John 10, verse 9. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." After realising that I needed to be on the right side of this door, I asked the Lord Jesus into my heart and then and there was saved. I am now 20 years old, and although I often struggle and let God down, thankfully he has never let me down. I am continuing to trust in him every day and pray that if you have not yet sought him out and asked for forgiveness for your sins and accepted his true gift of grace, that even this morning you would come to trust him. So I finished by thanking God for his blessing in saving many of my family and other families through the past 70 years and allowing our church and ministers to be used in teaching and encouraging families in Christ. Thank you.
Thank you, Lewis, for that brief history of the Macaulay family. I think you'll all agree that they're all some men that you're speaking about, or as Johnny would like to call them, some operators. But we're now going to ask another, I'll say, mature member of our church and the Reverend Park to come and bring this week's announcements. Whilst we were on Zoom, with the Youth Fellowship, we came to know that the Reverend Park is actually quite a good baker and is a good man for making a set of brownies, or so he'll say. But I think it was maybe his better spouse, maybe who was the better woman for it. But Reverend Park.
Chrissy. And Chrissy, we also came to know that you weren't much good. Two burnt saucepans, and I don't think there was anything edible and what those saucepans contain, but thank you for the welcome, and it's good to be on the same side as Samuel, being mature. Not that you're immature, but Chrissy, we want to thank you for leading. We want to thank our young people. We've got a tremendous group of young people in our church who love the Lord and seek to serve him, and I want to thank those who have taken part already and those who are still to take part this morning and also tonight. It's good to have our sister Noreen again with us for these few weeks, and we bid her a very special word of welcome. Just thinking about Chrissy, we were preaching recently about fruit bearing and how that there's some who bring forth fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Well, there's another, I can't really say it's fruit, it's an attribute, maybe it's called humor. And whenever the Lord was giving out humor, he gave 100-fold. To Chrissy. So it's good to have him on board today. May the Lord bless him. Now, I want to welcome you, the congregation, and those that are tuning in on the internet very sincerely. This is Youth Sunday, and we have a very special guest preacher today. He's a mature young man, so he's got both. And we're very glad to welcome the Reverend Joshua Moffat, who is the minister of Bangor, and of course, part of the family here and part of our own family. In welcoming Joshua, we welcome his wife and his two children. Good to have them at the house of God today. Do remember the gospel service at 7 o'clock tonight. And Joshua will be here to preach again. The young people will be taking part. We have the time of prayer on Zoom. We sent that out on the announcements. Just a wee reminder to try and encourage as many as possible to be at the times of prayer. There's a session meeting tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. It's the monthly time we get together. Thursday night is the midweek service. I'll be here to preach. And on Saturday, there's a wedding taking place. Reese McCauley is getting married to Katie. And that's at 1 o'clock down in Belfast. And we do wish them well. From the Hebron congregation, we trust that the Lord will be with them on their special day and in their future life together. And, of course, the families that are concerned. Next Lord's Day, the prayer meeting, 8 o'clock on Zoom. The Sunday school, 10:30 here in the church. And the Bible class on Zoom as Mervyn continues with the Father's House, this series in God's Heaven. And he's coming to think about where it is heaven next Lord's Day. The worship service, 12 noon. God willing, I'll be here to preach. And the gospel service at 7 o'clock, preceded by the time of prayer. Now, I want to mention the two following Lord's Days, because they are special. On the 20th of June, we have Children's Day. And it'll be Children's Day with a little bit of a difference, but at least we're having it. We will have children physically present and taking part. And Miss Christina Logan, one of our Mission Board Children's Evangelists, will be speaking on Children's Day. Now, the following is the 70th anniversary services. We're going to mark the 70th anniversary on the 27th of June. We would like to have done a lot more this year. We had a lot more planned, but we couldn't because of COVID. But we will have this special day, and at the noon service, we will be looking back with thankfulness. We'll be here in the church, And then, God willing, we'll have a gospel service at Cabra in the evening. So it'll be a kind of a drive-in service. The gentleman that owns the field there has given us permission to use it, and he will have it prepared for us. So these are things to pray about, very especially before the Lord. Thank you again for your tithes and your offerings to God's work. We acknowledge those missionary gifts that we have received. Mentioned them Thursday night, £5,000 and a gift of £250. And we received also, since then, a gift of €200 for missionary endeavour. Sandra Guinea doesn't often get to be with us these days, but we do congratulate her, for she has a very special birthday today, and that sort of leaked out through our student assistant. Do remember the work of God in all its aspects here in Hebron. Remember the sick and the needy of the congregation, these names that we set before you for prayer. Remember our students. I think it's the last week. Is this the last week, Greg, of your examinations? Pray for them as they do these examinations unto the Lord, and other children that are doing their schoolwork, of course. We shared with you on Thursday night about the children's school, the Carmichael School in Pakistan, and they were learning some words in English about praising the Lord and worshipping Him. And I'm not going to play the praise thing again, but it was good to hear them. We were preaching in Pakistan this morning to a tribal area. It was 43 degrees. Thankfully, I didn't feel that heat over the internet, but these people are sitting in the open air. There's a couple of trees there. I noticed that they're sitting under for a little bit of shade. So the weather was very hot this morning. And at the end of the meeting, you get the opportunity to remember some of the folks in prayer. And these are some of the individuals that we went round and prayed for individually who had particular needs. And then some emergency packages were given out, and food was given to the congregation. In another part of Pakistan this morning, at one of the church services, our other sister, Freya, she had the opportunity of sharing some good things with the congregation there and helping them out and encouraging them in this time of lockdown in Pakistan. COVID is rampant there at the moment. In the Philippines, likewise, this morning, the Reverend Ebenezer Nambre had the opportunity on behalf of the Mission Board giving out some help to his congregation. We mentioned Emma helping the children in Romania, so it's good to see these young people being assisted in all these various ways. And I know Dipankar had shared a very interesting photograph from India, and I just thought that was very interesting, just to show you at least he has something on his feet. But Dipankar had a little caption: when life is difficult, remember there are those praying for things that we take for granted. We have so much to be thankful for. Now, I think that's all the announcements that I need to make. We welcome the congregation again. We welcome the preacher. We will continue to pray for him as he comes to minister. And we hand it back now to Chrissy. Thank you.
Thank you to the Reverend Park for bringing this week's announcements. We're now going to have another hymn, In Christ Alone, My Hope Is Found. It's personally a very close hymn to my heart, and one that isn't in our hymn book, to be honest, so you're going to have to read up there. So, In Christ Alone, as I said, and we'll just remain in our seats again as we sing.
Thank you.
thank you for that precious word of song. I'm actually seeing that youth have taken over the piano and the organ for today also. I didn't actually notice that until halfway through that hymn. My apologies. So now that we have all them so-called old boys out of the way, we can get back to the youth taking part. And we're going to ask one of our members of the youth to come and message to us in a word of song. Unfortunately, we can't have the youth choir this year, but we can have our sister Keziah to come and message to us in a word of song. So, Keziah. Thank you, Keziah, for singing that so beautifully. And great, precious words it is, they live beneath the cross of Jesus. As Samuel mentioned earlier, obviously with this whole pandemic, I don't know if you heard anything about it, we've had to scale down our Youth Sunday this year. So they have our final item just before the Reverend Moffat comes to speak. We're going to ask Rebecca Owens if she'll come and give another Bible reading, please. So, Rebecca.
Our Bible reading this morning is found in the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verses 38 to 44. And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, Set on the great pot, and see the pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds in his lap full. and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is a death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. But he said, Then bring meal, and cast it into the pot. And he said, Pour out for the people, that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. And there came a man from Baal Shalisha, and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn, in the husk thereof. And he said, Give unto the people, that they may eat. And his servitor said, What should I set this before 100 men? And he said, Give the people, that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, They shall eat, and have the youth thereof. So he set it before them, and they did eat, and left thereof according to the word of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Rebecca, for that Bible reading. So now we're going to be asking one of our previous members of our youth fellowship, and now the Reverend in Bangor, Reverend Joshua Moffat, to come and speak. I remember Josh being in youth when I first joined, and they were quite honest. I thought he was a bit of a rare boy, a bit of a rogue, but turns out he's actually quite smart. So we're going to ask him now to come and give the word for today.
Thank you, Chrissy. Nothing like saying it how it is. It's good to see everybody today. It's good to be back in Ballymoney, especially on a Sunday. Don't have much cause to be back in Ballymoney on a Sunday. But I want to thank you for having me and for the invite to come along. I was encouraged when I received the invite to speak to young people. I thought Samuel must think I'm still young and I'm still on the level and that I'm able to speak because I'm the same maturity level as the young people. And then the week after, I was asked to do a children's day. And I applied the same logic, and that discouraged me a little bit, but it's good to be here speaking on Youth Sunday to young people. I love the young people, especially the young people of this church. I grew up with you. I love you in the Lord. We trust that the Lord will bless us today. Can I move the laptop? Is that okay? Our man mustn't watch me preach in Bangor because I get fairly excited and I would move about quite a bit, and so he mustn't be watching because that'll get kiped before the sermon's over. We're turning to 2 Kings chapter 4 this morning. I'm looking down, I'm feeling like a student again. I'm looking down, I can see some of the Bible students, I can see other ministers, I can see missionaries, and the nerves are starting to hit. Add to that my family on both sides, and things start to get nervous. But we trust the Lord will help and will draw near to us this morning. I want to thank you all for your prayers for us in Bangor. Things are going well, and we're rejoicing in the Lord for his hand upon us. And it's good to see you once again. 2 Kings chapter 4, then, is our reading this morning. Before we come to preach, we'll bow in a moment's prayer and seek the Lord's face together. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee and praise thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank thee for who thou art and what thou hast done for us. We thank thee that thou art a great God and greatly to be praised. And Lord, as a people, as a church, we say this morning, in Christ alone, my hope is found. And Father, we want our eyes to be upon Christ today. We want our eyes to be upon the Lord God of creation. We want to look to him. We want to be blessed by him. And Heavenly Father, we pray now that the Spirit of the living God would fall upon us. Lord, like a rushing mighty wind, baptize us with fire today. Lord, give fire in the preaching. Even in the Sunday school, we were singing, Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. And Father, keep this preacher burning, I pray. Don't let this just be a dead, dry sermon or just some mere act of oratory. Lord, we pray it'll be a fiery message from the Lord. Pray for passion in the pulpit. Pray for wisdom and compassion. And we pray that, Lord, as we seek to preach the gospel, that, Lord, you'd bless us and you'd be with us here today. Bless the young people of this church. Gather near to us today. And Lord, let the presence of God make the feast this morning. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just before we really start, I might ask you just to look away from your watches. Maybe turn them over so the watch face is facing the other way. I know Ballymoney keep to an hour. I'm from Bangor. and we don't. And so I might just go past the hour. Don't look at your watches, sure. This is Youth Sunday, it's a special occasion. But the Lord has laid a verse, a passage on my heart for this day, and it's found in 2 Kings 4. And I've simply entitled my message, The Worst School Dinner Ever. The Worst School Dinner Ever, because I'm sure we've all had bad school dinners. I don't know if there's any dinner ladies in Ballymoney or dinner men. I don't want to offend. I don't want to be politically correct, dinner ladies or dinner men. But certainly, if we were to have our time again in school, we might not just be rushing back to the cafeteria. It might not just be the five-star quality we'd expect at some of our restaurants. But I want to show you this morning the worst school dinner that ever was made. And we're coming to 2 Kings chapter 4. And when we open the curtains on 2 Kings chapter 4, really, we're opening those curtains on a standard school day. That's what's happening here. We read in verse 38 that Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. Now, that little phrase, the sons of the prophets, it doesn't speak of Jeremiah's son or Isaiah's son or the children of the prophets we read of in the Bible. The sons of the prophets was the name given to a Bible school. And so here were young men who were training to be prophets, training to take up the ministry of the Word of God. And Elisha sitting before them meant that he was teaching them. He was lecturing them. And so as we open the curtains on verse 38, there's Elisha. He's the teacher, and he's teaching the classroom, the sons of the prophets. And just like these young men, young people, from the moment you are saved, you become a student. You become a student in the school of the Lord Jesus Christ. You might be a student in Del Riata. You might be a student in Queens or Strand. I don't know where the Lord has taken you since I've been away. But most of all, you're a student in the school of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every day is a school day. And every day we ought to be learning more of what the Lord has done for us, who the Lord is, and what He requires of us. But you know, as we live our lives, young people, as students of the Lord, enrolled in the classroom of Christ, we encounter problems. I encounter them, you encounter them as well. And this school of the prophets was no different. These young men who were training in the things of God encountered difficulty because disaster strikes here in 2 Kings chapter 4. We read here in verse 40 that they found there was death in the pot they were eating from. Their school dinner, you might say, was poisonous and it was about to kill them. And they realized this great calamity. And I want us to study what happened here and the reasons this problem came into being. Because young people, we face the same problems today as students of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust the Lord will bless us as we look and think about the worst school dinner ever. And the first thing I want you to notice this morning is the problem with the pupil. The problem with the pupil. I don't know how many teachers we have here, but I'm sure you can say in every classroom, there's always one problem pupil that never does as they're told. It's always messing about, distracting the other pupils. I know that because I was always the problem pupil. I was always the one with the bad report card or the one who the teachers wanted to speak to mom and dad about. And so it was easy to spot the problem pupil in all my skills. But there was a problem pupil in the days of Elisha. We read about him in verse 39, the one who went out into the field. And this young man had four problems. Four problems this young man had, and they all begin with the letter S. We love alliteration. All begin with the letter S. The first was a problem with his satisfying. You know, Elisha gives an instruction to his servant here in verse 38. He says to his servant, look at the last part of that verse, set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. In other words, there's a big cauldron here, there's a big pot of stew, and I need you to put it on to boil. And whenever it's boiled and it's ready, we'll serve it out to these young men. Now, if we pay attention to the grammar here and the tense here of Elisha, Elisha is not asking his servant to go and chop the onions or to peel the asparagus, or to butter the potatoes. He's telling him, just set it on to boil. In other words, everything already is in the pot. Everything's good in the pot. Everything's wholesome in the pot. Everything in the pot will please everybody. And so set it on the fire and bring it to boil. And yet, in verse 39, there's one young man, one young student. And you know, he looks at that pot and he says, well, the pot doesn't appeal to me. That pot's not going to satisfy my need. Maybe they were eating from a similar pot every single day and he was tired of the same thing time after time. But we read in verse 39 that he wasn't wanting what was in the pot. And so in verse 39, he went out. Not the servant who set the pot on, bear in mind, but one of the sons of the prophets. He says, I want something different. I want to spice up this soup. I want to flavor and season this soup. I don't want what everybody else is pleased to take. I want something more. And you know, young people, as I thought about that young man, I thought about you and I thought about me. You're part of a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, Christ-glorifying church. And don't ever count that as a small thing. It's an amazing thing that the Lord has chosen to put you in this church. This church has no political agendas. It has no financial agendas just to raise money and accrue funds. This church has one goal and one mandate, and that is to bring glory to Christ through the preaching of the gospel. And that's what you're a part of, young people. And if I could speak metaphorically, today there is for you a pot of good, wholesome food. A pot of food that will nourish your soul and that will satisfy your needs. A pot of good, wholesome teaching and food for your soul. And yet I know that our land is filled with countless young people. And they say, I don't want what's in the pot. I want something more. I want something that's not found here. My appetites are different from everybody else's. I'm not satisfied with the pot the same way I was before. Maybe such dissatisfaction with what's here causes you to leave off coming to youth so faithfully where once you were faithful. Maybe that extends and you start to leave off coming to church altogether. Maybe you're speaking to friends and you see what their church offers and you say, well, I prefer that pot to the pot that I have and I want to leave behind this pot and go out and go somewhere else. Maybe you're growing up, and I know this is a downfall of many young people. You meet a boy or you meet a girl, and maybe they're not saved, and you know that you can't have that relationship if you're a Christian, and you know that this church would not be endorsing that or supporting that, and you think, well, I'd rather have this person than the teaching of Christ, or I'd rather have this individual or do something or go somewhere than have the good food for my soul. And so you're looking for something that's not in the pot. Well, what I want to remind you of this morning is that the pot hadn't changed. It was the same. It was the staple. It was going to satisfy, to nourish, and to please. But this young man had changed. His appetite, his opinion had changed. The problem wasn't in the soup. The problem was in the soul for this young man. And oh, young person, let me tell you this morning, all these other things are minor and secondary, but you have a need today to get food into your soul and to be built up in the most precious Word of God. And young people, I would say to you, attend to the pot. Come and be under the sound of the preaching of God's Word. You need food for your soul, and it will be found here through the faithful declaration of the Word. The Lord said in the Beatitudes, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. In other words, the Lord said, the ones who are looking for satisfaction in Christ, they will be satisfied and they will be pleased, and the Lord will bless those individuals. But when we go out and we try and look for satisfaction elsewhere, you'll not find it. For the hymn writer said, none but Christ can satisfy. And how true that is. I would advise you young people, in your young days, set your appetite on God's Word. Set your appetite on Jesus Christ and follow Him all the days of your life. And so there was a problem with His satisfying, but there was also a problem in His searching. Because this young man, he decides, well, I don't want what everybody else has. I'll go out and I'll find something else. And where does His search take Him? We read in verse 39, He went out into the field. He went into the field to gather herbs. Now, that field was a literal field. I know there's many farmers in Ballymoney, and that field was a patch of grass, some land that perhaps someone owned. But you know, the Lord often speaks of fields in his word, and speaks of fields in metaphorical ways as well. One instance is in Matthew 13. And there the Lord tells the parable of the sower who went out to sow in his field. And the disciples ask him in verse 24 of Matthew 13, "What do you mean by this parable?" And you know what the Lord said to them? He said, "The field is the world." And the Lord used the word field to speak of the world. And we see that in the book of Genesis, because the Lord made the fowls of the air, the birds, and he made the beasts of the field. Now, we're not to imagine God made every animal and put them all on one patch of grass. He covered the whole world with his creations. And so that word field can also be employed scripturally as speaking of the world. Think of missionaries. Where do we send them? We send them into the world. We send them into the foreign field. And so that word field can speak of the world. And young people, if we employ that hermeneutic principle and we employ that translation, then here's a young man. And he leaves the godly influences of home. And he leaves the sound teaching of the prophet. And where does he go to satisfy his desires? He goes out and he goes straight into the world. Maybe you've done the same thing. Maybe there's good young people here who are good company. I'm sure the sons of the prophets were good company for this young man, and yet he didn't want to know. He had a good teacher, and I know for a fact you've a good teacher here in Ballymoney. Maybe you don't want to know. And you want to go out and do your own thing. Here's a young man surrounded by those who loved him, those who cared about him, and he says, "No, I want the world. I want to leave this all behind." And I know that there's much will tempt you in the world. The devil is described as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. If you watch those nature documentaries, one thing you'll find about the lion is the lion never takes on the pack. The lion draws out the one. He draws out that one wild gazelle and he leads them further and further away from their friends. And then when it's alone, he pounces. The devil's the same with young people. He wants to lead you out of the fellowship of your friends, Christian friends. Wants to lead you out of the godly influences of this church. And I can assure you, as soon as you've done that and you've gone out into the world and you've left all behind, he will pounce on you as quick. And he'll cast you down. You know, I'm sure you've heard this illustration before, but if you're looking at a fireplace, you'll see the coals there, and they're burning, they're red hot, they're ablaze. And you get the tongs, and you take that piece of coal out that's once red hot, and you set it by itself on the mantle. It soon goes cold. It soon returns to black once again. And that's so with young people. When we're together, when we're in the place where God has called us to be, and fellowshipping the one with the other under Jesus Christ, we glow and we burn. But when we go out into the world, we'll lose that heat that we once had for Jesus Christ. And what's the answer to this, young people? Well, it's simply the words of the old hymn writer when he said, "Take the world, but give me Jesus." And I wonder, will you make that your prayer today, young people? Take the world, take its allurements, take its toys and its enticements. I want Jesus Christ. I need the Lord in my life. I need the Lord to guide me. Because young people never lose sight of Jesus. He never loses sight of you. Not once. He that keepeth Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And you know, no one can give you peace like Jesus Christ can give you peace. No one can bring you joy like Jesus Christ can bring you joy. And my counsel to you this morning is stay true to Christ in your day. You know, Paul told the story of Demas. Demas was a man who followed Paul on his missionary endeavors. And Demas went with Paul for a good time. And then Paul writes these very sad words. He writes, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." And when the love for the world set into Demas's heart, his love for Christ grew cold. Set not your love on the world, young people. John advised, "Love not the world nor the things that are in the world, but love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Set your heart on him. Follow him all the days of your life, because praise God, he has set his love on you. He has chosen you to be his child. There was also a problem in his storing. We've seen a problem of his searching, a problem of his satisfying. There was a problem in his storing. Because this young man, he goes out and what does he find? He finds a wild vine and gourds growing on that vine. Now, in that region, those gourds would have been essentially cucumbers. And he finds this vine of cucumbers and he thinks, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I need. That'll flavor this soup nicely. You know, this young man, he maybe could have taken one or two. And that maybe wouldn't have caused much harm. The cucumbers of themselves were fine. Nothing wrong with the fruit. And you know, young people, as you live in the world, and we do have to live in the world, the Lord wills that in John 17. He wants us to be with him in glory, but he wills that right now we live in the world. We're not to be of the world, but we're to be in the world. And as we live in the world, we'll find many things that we enjoy and are fine and legitimate in and of themselves. Maybe it's a hobby. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a special friend or a girlfriend or a boyfriend or maybe all these other things. And they're fine. They're legitimate enterprises. And you can pursue them however you like. But there was a problem in this man's story. Because look at what he did in verse 39. He gathered thereof wild gourds his lap full. Oh, the cucumbers themselves were fine, but he took too many. He overindulged. He filled his lap, carried as much as he could back to base camp. And there's a simple little lesson in that. Our hobbies, our friendships, our relationships, the things that we enjoy doing in our spare time, they might be fine and legitimate in and of themselves, but when we take a lap full, and when we spend more time on the things of the world than we do in the things of Christ, then we've gone wrong. And we're paying more due heed to accruing the things of time than accruing the things of eternity. I'll give one example, and I'm not thinking of any young person in particular, but you think of football. Nothing wrong or sinful with football. There's no 11th commandment, thou shalt not play football. It's fine. It's 100%. But if you're waking up thinking about football, you wake up in a bedroom surrounded with football posters, you watch three or four games before you head out to your work or your school, and then when you get home, you're thinking about football, you're talking about football, you play a couple of hours of football, you watch three or four matches of football, you pull out FIFA and you play for another few hours playing football on the PlayStation, and that's when it's gone wrong. That's a whole lap full of football. And that's what this young man had. The one or the two would have been okay. But he takes a lap full. And when our laps are full of the world, so often our hearts are empty of Christ. And this young man put Christ in a back seat. And so the problem here was not in the substance so much. It was in the supply. And young person, as you think of the hours allotted to you in a day, 24 of them, how many of those hours do you give to Jesus Christ? Is it even one? Is it just a few minutes of each day? Has Christ been relegated to a minor role in your life? I wonder, are you filling your lap with other things? Other things that really don't matter. He is deserving of the number one place in your life. He is worthy, eternally worthy, of always being the number one priority of his children. And I ask of you this morning, young people, do you care more for social media than the scriptures? I wonder, are you more obsessed with the world's music than Christ's messages? Is your life one of Instagram or intercession? These are serious questions we need to ask. Do you care more about Netflix or the needs of your soul? It's only Christ truly matters. And I ask of you, is he your top priority today? And then I want you to see his shredding, which was another mistake that this young man made, his shredding. Because in verse 39, we read that he came and he shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. And do you see what this young man's now done? He's gone out into the world. He's gathered things that he enjoys in the world. He's come back to camp, and now he's mixing what he has found in the world with the things which are good for the people of God. And as I think about that, I want to testify of my own young life as a young Christian. You know, so often, I try to toe the line between living in the world and living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And what that turned into, young people, was Monday to Saturday, living for self, living for entertainment, living for the world, laughing at the jokes I shouldn't have been laughing at, doing the things I shouldn't have been doing, going to the places I shouldn't have been going to. And yet on Sunday, out came the Bible, out came the suit and tie. Nobody would have known. Went to church with the semblance that everything was grand and that everything was fine. But what was I doing? I was trying to shred the gourds of the pot into the pot of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happened? Well, what happened here? Disaster broke out. And young people, my counsel to you is don't try and mix your worldly vices with the things of Christ. Don't live a double life. The scriptures say that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The Lord said himself, no man can serve two masters. And when you try and mix together a life here in church with your Christian friends and a life in school or work with ungodly friends, they don't mix. And the only thing comes out of it is a disgusting, deadly stew. You know, in Psalm 26, verse 1, David was a young man. And David writes in Psalm 26, verse 1, I have walked in mine integrity. Now, what is integrity? Integrity is living the same way wherever you are. It's living the same way in church as you do at home. It's living the same way in church as you do in school or in work. It's not living a double life. A life of integrity is a life fully surrendered to Christ. And I ask you, young people, older people alike, are you individuals of Christ-like integrity? Does Christ take a back seat after the gospel service on a Sunday? Oh, don't relegate the Lord of your life to just a few hours. Serve him every day. And young people, take it from me, he's a Savior worth living for. He is a Savior worth living for. And so we've seen the problem with the pupil. But I want to go on to show you the problem, the poison in the pot. The poison in the pot. Because whilst the pupil was wrong, something happened in the pot. This young man had shred the gourds, and now the whole community is affected. Verse 40, they poured out for the men to eat, and as they were eating of the pottage, they cried out and said, O man of God, there is death in the pot. And young person, just learn from that as well. When you mix the world and church, and you live for the world and no time for the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't just affect you. It brings other people into disaster too. And that's what happened to these sons of the prophets. Oh, it was only the one who went out and gathered the gourds, but now the whole community was paying for it. And young person, it might be that you think it's fine for you and you can manage the world in church, but you might be leading an unkind example to your friends and you might lead them into sin and lead them into ruin. But I want you to notice just very, very quickly, don't look at your watches, very quickly, just three things about the poison pot that day. The first thing I want you to notice is the poison pot was deadly. Notice what the men say in verse 40. There's death in the pot. They don't say, well, that's not very nice. They don't say it's over-seasoned or under-seasoned or I think you burnt that a little bit. They say it's deadly. There's death in that. If I eat that, I'm going to die. One commentator, Kiel, he says that maybe the one or two cucumbers, they were poisonous cucumbers, but he says one or two would have been fine and would, could have been consumed easily, but a large portion of them would have definitely killed an individual. And that's what these young men realized. And young people, when we do mix the world and the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a poison stew. That's good for nothing. And it's greatly damaging to everybody involved. And I say this reverently this morning. The Lord is not looking for Bible in hand, berry on head, soot-wearing, berry-wearing free Presbyterians. It's not what the Lord's looking for. The Lord's looking for young lives totally surrendered to him, serving him, loving him, souls to whom the Lord has truly worked. You know, man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And how is it with your heart today? If the Lord was to inspect your heart, how would your heart fare before him? You know, before this world began. Because we have to remember, the Lord looks on our heart, but I want you just to know, the Lord has a heart for you. Before this world began, if you're saved, he chose you. God sent his son to die for you. He bled for you there on Calvary. He bore the shame and took the wrath of God at the cross. He rose again on the third day and ever liveth to make intercession for you. Make no mistake, Christ has a heart for young people. But young people, do you have a heart for Christ? Do you have a heart for Him in your day? Oh, how we need to do away with these deadly things. And say with the hymn writer, Thou, O Christ, art all I want. More than all in Thee I find. In a world you'll find that which kills. In Christ you'll find life. Young people, follow Christ. Not only was it deadly, it was diagnosed. Because the men recognized straight away that what they were experiencing came from the pot. They said there's death in it, and there's death in the pot. They diagnosed correctly what was going on in their bodies. They take that first taste, that first mouthful, and instantly they know there's something not right here. And they place the finger exactly on the problem. And oh, to have such a discernment. Oh, for young people to have discernment in our day. They spotted the counterfeit and the danger as soon as it reared its head. And my prayer is, coming here today, that our young people would be given Holy Ghost discernment to know that which is damaging to your soul and to know that which is good for your soul. To immediately know and recognize that which is going to bring you into danger and to hinder your walk with Christ and that which is going to benefit you and nourish and truly satisfy your soul. You know, men who work in the bank and women who work in the bank, there's a lot of fake notes that go about, a lot of money printed, not by the mint. And you know, the bank tellers, they don't study all the fake notes. There's thousands of them. What the bank teller does is he studies the real note. And he learns every detail. He learns every intricacy of that 20-pound note. And then when the fake one comes, instantly he knows that's wrong. It doesn't marry up to what I know. And young people, if you want discernment to know that which is good for you and to know that which will benefit your soul and that which is deadly, you need to be in this book. You need to be learning more of Christ. You need to look to the real thing, the genuine article. And then very quickly you'll spot the counterfeit. And so young people, get into the Word. And more readily you will spot the disasters, the wiles of the devil. Praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ will never lead His children astray when we read of Him and His Word. Not only was it deadly and diagnosed, it was also declared. Because look at what the men say in verse 40. Oh, thou man of God, there is death in the pot. They take the problem to God's man. They take the problem to God's representative. They take the problem to the one that cares and the one that's able to heal and to minister. And young person, maybe it is that you've been listening and you say, well, my heart's not right. I am living for the world week by week. I have done things that are wrong and sinful in the eyes of God. And I know that I'm not where I should be. I'm living in the world and not for Christ. Young people, here's my advice to you. Take it to God's man. Take it to God's representative and ambassador. Take it to the Lord Jesus Christ. God's man is Christ. And young people, whenever there's disaster in your life, whenever there's problems in your soul, bring them to Jesus. He's the one that cares. He's the one that loves. He's the one that's able to deal with all life's problems. He's the only one can help you. And no one will ever care for you like Jesus. It may be that over the past while, you've drifted away from the Lord. You've become just like this young man. Bring that to Christ today. Don't leave it another week. Bring it to Christ now and say, Lord, I haven't been living for you. My heart is not what it once was. And you know, when you bring it to Christ, He careth for you. He loves you. He's appointed by God to forgive sin and to cleanse from all iniquity. And let the poison pot of your life right now drive you to the greater Elisha, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've seen the problem with the pupil. We've seen the poison in the pot. And now I hasten to my last point, which is the purifying of the prophet. The purifying of the prophet, because we read in verse 41 that Elisha purifies the pot of stew so that there is no harm in it. And again, I just want to bring out three very, very simple points this morning. There was a specific need that these young men had. That's the first one. There was a specific need. Elisha did not try to make an antidote for the poison. He didn't run to the county doctor and say, come down, the sons of the prophets are sick. He knew there's one specific, certain thing that these young people need. And young people just like Elisha knew that. I know that too. There's one thing you need today, a specific need. And it matters not what stage of life you're in, whether you're old, you're young, you're man, you're woman. It doesn't matter where you are, whether you're in school, whether you're in work, whether you're in university. You have one specific need. And young people, older people alike, that need is Jesus Christ. We need the Lord in our lives. What young people need that eclipses everything else is not better grades. It's not better pay. It's not more respect. It's the Lord. It's Christ. Christ is what we need. I must have the Savior with me. You need him to grow in grace. You need him to still every troubled sea. You need him to be enabled to be more like him. And what you need today, and that's why I wanted that hymn, is Christ and Christ alone. Because in Christ alone, my hope is found. He's the friend that sticketh closer than any brother. What I need, the Bible says, is ever only Jesus. Young people, you need the Lord. And then there was a saving need. Not only a specific need, but a saving need. Because this meal that Elisha called for was able to deliver the men from the death that they were facing. Nobody said they couldn't eat the stew after. They were all pleased to partake. They all took some and their lives were spared. And child of God, you know, Christ is good for all. He's good for every one of us. And whether you're at the start of your young life or you've served the Lord for many years, Christ is absolutely what you need. But you know, death awaits those outside of Christ. Death awaits those, and perhaps there was a young prophet there, and he said, I'm not going to take of the pot. He'd have died. And young people, outside of Christ, there's nothing but death. And let me speak to you, dear unsaved young people, and older people alike, the wages of sin is death. And your sin will take you further than you ever want to go. And the only thing that could save and give life to the sons this day was the meal. The only thing that could save them was that meal. And the only thing that can save you today is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one can save your soul. Oh, young people, older people alike, make this the day where you say, I am coming to the cross. I will get saved and get right with Christ, for my Savior loves me so. Will you come today and be saved by the Lord's matchless grace? And then, finally, everybody out of this stew, it was a satisfying need. A satisfying need. Because everybody took of that stew. And I want you to realize this morning, young people, Christ can satisfy your soul. He can give you that longing that you're looking for. And I want you to realize as well, both older people and younger people alike, just how much the Lord has blessed you here. You're part of a theologically sound, Bible-preaching family church. You have a Christ that loves you and that laid down his blood for you, laid down his life a ransom for many, a Christ that loves you eternally with everlasting love. You have a minister, a pastor, that faithfully preaches the gospel as good food for your soul and edification. And my counsel, coming from this account in Elisha's life, is don't trade the wondrous Christ for the world's cucumbers. Don't trade what the Lord has given you for something cheaper, something counterfeit. Don't be tempted by the things without. Cherish the things within. Take heed to what the Lord has given you and let your cry be, give me nothing but Christ in my young life. Give me nothing but Jesus. In Christ alone my hope is found. And one of those verses says, no power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand, for I am his and he is mine. Bought with the precious blood of Christ. Elisha saw the poison and he said, bring the meal. Young people, as you look out to the world, as you see the temptations of Satan besetting you about every day of your life, I trust your cry will be much like Elisha's and you'll say, bring me Jesus. Bring me Christ and my life shall be filled. My heart's prayer is that your cry would always be, in Christ alone, bring me Jesus. Amen. And we trust the Lord has blessed this word to our hearts were way over the time, but there was a closing hymn. We'll maybe not have that today. It was said by Samuel, I think he said it jokingly, if you're finishing preaching, it's about 20 past or so, just close the meeting yourself. But that has happened, and so we will just close the meeting. But young people, older people alike, remember, the Lord Jesus Christ is all you'll ever need. He's all you'll need in life, he's all you'll need in death, and he's all you'll need in eternity. And come and seek the Lord even while you're yet young. Remember thy Creator. When? The days of thy youth. And come and follow him all the days of your life. Let's bow our heads and pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we think of Elisha. We think of this young man who went out to try and find satisfaction in the world. And Lord, we pray for our young people as they are beset about by the allurements and temptations of this old evil world, that, Lord, you'd keep them from the evil one, that you'd keep them from doing that which is wrong in the sight of God, and that, Lord, their cry would be in an evil day, give me Jesus Christ, bless me with the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd use this message to speak to many souls. Pray you'd bless abundantly, and even as the voice of the preacher falls silent, we pray the speaking voice of God would speak on in hearts. Bring us back this evening. Bring us out safely. And Lord, we pray that signs would follow the preaching and that souls would be saved under the glory of God. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I've been asked to tell you to please remain seated until the ushers have dismissed you pew by pew. Thank you, and may the Lord bless each and every one of you.